go, I'd ask you to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 35. We'll be reading the entire chapter of Isaiah 35. It's only 10 verses. And as you turn there, I would tell you that this chapter is about redemption. Surprise, surprise. It's about the Lord Jesus, God manifested in the flesh. They will see him. That's what the ancient church is told. They are going to see him. They're going to behold him with their eyes. How will they know it's him when he arrives? Well, God's going to confirm his arrival with miraculous healing. And we see some of that in this chapter. Isaiah chapter 35, beginning at verse 1. This is God's holy inspired word. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are anxious at heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water, the haunt of jackals. Where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. And here we will end our Old Testament reading and ask you now to turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. We're going to read verses 46 through 52. This is the story of blind Bartimaeus. At this point in Jesus' ministry, they are traveling from the north in Galilee down to Jerusalem. Jesus has told the disciples three times already, when I get to Jerusalem, I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be killed. But after 3 days, I will rise again. So tensions are a little high with the disciples. Anxiety is high. And Mark is recording what's happening along their journey. Mark chapter 10. Beginning at verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out, all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Let's pray and ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord, again, we come to you this morning asking, begging even, that something of a miracle will take place. Not a miracle that we can see with our eyes, but Lord, we would ask that you would speak to us in time and space, even now as we sit here, in the quietness of our hearts, would you speak to us through the preaching of your word? Would you apply these things that we hear to our own lives? Would you let us know that you're speaking to us? Lord, we need your encouragement. We need your instruction. Sometimes we even need your rebuke. Lord, how we long to hear from you. We ask that you would hear our prayers. In Christ's name, amen. Are you in need of restoration? As you sit here right now, are you in need of restoration? Maybe you feel spiritually dry. Maybe your prayer life is in need of revival. Your reading, maybe. Do you feel that way? Do you feel like you are in need of restoration? Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's a relationship. Is your marriage in need of restoration? Or some other relationship, a friend, a brother, a sister. Maybe it's something physical. Are you in need of restoration physically? Maybe mentally. Maybe it's addiction. Maybe it's parts of your body that hurt. Are you in need of healing? Well, our passage this morning is about restoration. It's about blind Bartimaeus, and he's restored, isn't he? We see that in verse 52. He recovers his sight. Well, Mark, the author of this passage, wants you to know that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Messiah, the one that Isaiah prophesied about. Jesus is the Lord Almighty come in the flesh. Mark 10, 46 through 52 says that Jesus is the Messiah who saves those who put their faith in him. This passage teaches that you ought to come to Jesus for restoration. That like Bartimaeus, you ought to cry out to him for restoration. So as we look at this passage and we meditate on it this morning, my hope is to point you to Jesus, to point you to his character, that you would see what he's like. And that as you do, you would recognize how unique he is. Not unique, maybe that's the wrong word. How fantastic he is. How glorious he is. How extraordinary he is. That's the hope. So let's begin considering the character of the Lord Jesus. And first we see that Jesus halts. Jesus halts for those who cry out to him. That's his character. He halts for those who cry out to him. Well, as I said earlier, Jesus has been traveling south with his disciples, making his way to Jerusalem. And along the way, they pass through the city of Jericho. Now, Jericho is about 18 miles northeast of Jerusalem. It is about 5 miles away from the Jordan River. And it was a beautiful city. It had recently been restored by the Herodians, who made this city the site of their winter palace. And so it was showing that love that the Herodians had put into it. And now Jesus came to Jericho, and he was in the company of his disciples, as well as numerous pilgrims who are making their way to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. So that's the context. That's what it's looking like. Now Jesus was a rabbi, and it was customary for distinguished rabbis to travel with their disciples. It was something of an entourage in tow behind them. But what wasn't customary was the size of the crowd that's following Jesus at this point. It was huge. Our text calls it a great crowd, doesn't it? And passing through this city of Jericho only compounded it. It only made this crowd grow and grow. Because by this time in Jesus' ministry, most everyone had heard of him and had heard the things he was saying and the things that he was doing. Verse 46 says, they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. Now, Bartimaeus, he was a wreck. He was a pitiful sight. He had probably woken up just that morning to dust off all the straw and the dirt and the debris on his tattered robe. And then he began tapping his way down the familiar roads of Jericho. And as he tapped his way to that place where he would go day by day by day to beg, he might have collected a crust or two of bread. And when he arrived at the gate, he took his place along with the other beggars on the side of the road. And as Bartimaeus sat there in darkness, he listened to the sound of the city come to life. Heard the sounds of the donkeys braying as they carried loads of food and supplies to the market. He heard the sounds of women chatting as they carried their pitchers to the well. As he sat there, he heard the city coming to life. And as it came to life, he began to ring out, to sing out with his beggar's call. But after a while, Bartimaeus began to hear something different. He was there every day. But this day he was hearing something different. Something was going on in the city, something strange. A great crowd was approaching. There was a great commotion. Children began to run by his feet, yelling. People were passing by and talking in an excited manner. Something was going on. There was a certain electricity in the air. Something was happening. So Bartimaeus grabbed on to a passerby. The parallel passage in Luke said that he asked someone what was happening. And the passerby probably snatched his robe out of Bartimaeus' filthy hands and said something like, "Jesus of Nazareth, the one who heals the lame and the lepers and the blind, he's here in the city. Some say that he is the Messiah." Well, perhaps Bartimaeus had already heard of Jesus and his miracles and his healing. Bartimaeus believed that Jesus was the promised Messiah, and now he was coming. This was his chance. The heart of the crowd was almost in front of him. His heart began to pound. People were calling to one another. Intermittent hosannas were ringing out. Bartimaeus was shook. He had to decide, would he do something? This was his moment. Verse 47 says, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." You see, Bartimaeus, he hadn't got to his feet. It's probably impossible because of his physical condition. And also the pressing crowd. Have you ever been in a crowd like that? It's just so thick that you're moving with the crowd. But he was going to make himself heard. He was crying out pitifully at the top of his lungs. You see, Bartimaeus was desperate. He was broken. He was so tired. He was in need of mercy. So Bartimaeus would not be silenced by the crowd. He believed, and he was in need. So he kept saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," over and over and over and over again. Like a helpless child who cries out for milk or who cries out for the need of their parent. You might remember that earlier in this chapter, if you look back at Mark 10, verse 15, it had only happened in recent time as they were traveling. Jesus said to the disciples, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." How did Jesus respond to the desperate cries of Bartimaeus? Look at verse 49. "And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' And they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take heart, get up, he's calling you.'" The cries of a poor and powerless person stops Jesus in his tracks. That's the character of the Lord. He's instantly attentive to your cries. He cares for the broken, the hurting, those in need. He cares deeply. Are you in need? Do you find yourself in a desperate situation? Are you in need of restoration, of forgiveness? Cry out to Jesus. Make your voice heard. Jesus stops for those who cry out to him. He wants you to bare your heart to him. You see, Jesus not only halts, but he also hears those who cry out to him. That's what we're going to look at second. Jesus hears those who cry out to him. What was it that Bartimaeus kept saying over and over and over again to everybody's distress? He kept saying, "Jesus, Son of David, Son of David." That's a blatantly messianic title. Jesus confirms that in Mark 12, 35. Bartimaeus, in fact, is the only person recorded in the Gospel of Mark who refers to Jesus as the Son of David. So what does it mean, Son of David, and how is it significant, and what is a messianic title anyways? In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 11 through 14, God promised that he was going to raise up an offspring, that is a descendant, to David, and that he was going to establish the throne of his kingdom forever. The Davidic covenant is a promise about the Messiah. It's a promise regarding Jesus. God said that the Messiah, that the Christ, would be one of David's descendants, and that this descendant would become king and reign forever. And pious Israelites, that is the ancient church, pious Israelites were waiting for the fulfillment of this promise. They were waiting for a Davidic descendant as Messiah. And though Bartimaeus was certainly no theologian, and he probably didn't understand much of the implications of what he was saying, he had come to an exalted conclusion about the Lord Jesus. Bartimaeus determined that Jesus was indeed the Son of David, the promised Messiah. He believed that Jesus was the Messiah who could bring him healing and restoration. Verse 49 says, "And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' And they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take heart, get up, he's calling you.' And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus." See, the instant that Bartimaeus heard that Jesus had actually stopped and was calling him, he reacted immediately. He threw off his moth-eaten cloak. Now, you have to understand that's an extreme gesture for a blind man who cannot see and is not going to let that cloak out of his hand. It's one of the most valuable things he owns. Is it a gesture of faith that he is not going to need this thing any longer? Jesus will answer his prayers. Bartimaeus sprang to his feet. He was no doubt guided by others through this pressing crowd and stumbled his way to Jesus. Can you imagine his thrill? He can't believe it. He actually stopped. It worked. If the heart of Bartimaeus was pounding before, it must have been wanting to jump out of his chest at this point. Can you imagine the sight? The sight of Jesus and Bartimaeus coming face to face. Jesus with the most penetrating eyes ever. Eyes that can look right into your soul and know everything that's going on. And the dirty, gaunt face of Bartimaeus with his sunken eye sockets. A man who is desperate, who had nothing to offer. He had nothing to barter, who is in need of mercy. You see, this is the way to come to the Lord. Verse 51 says, "And Jesus said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Rabbi, let me recover my sight.' Jesus asked, what do you want? What do you want me to do for you?'" This is a question that has just been asked. It was just asked in the section previous to where we are now. You might remember that James and John, they wanted extraordinary glory. They wanted to be second and third in the kingdom. Do you remember that? But Bartimaeus' response, it's different. The sons of thunder, again, they wanted extraordinary glory. But Bartimaeus, he just wants ordinary health. Bartimaeus doesn't seek wealth or power or greatness according to the world's standard. He asks for sight. He asks to be restored. He wants to be normal. People with good health, we often take it for granted. But for those who are ill and troubled, normalcy is God's greatest gift. Again, Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" Remember that Jesus is divine. He is the God-man. He already knows what Bartimaeus is going to ask for. But he wants to hear Bartimaeus speak. He wants to hear his soul. He wants to hear his voice. He wants to hear from him. You see, Jesus isn't mechanical. He's not robotic. We shouldn't think of him as some kind of supercomputer. No, he is real. He is alive. He is warm. He is personal. He is here. And he hears. And Bartimaeus is right in front of him. He wants to be healed. He wants what seems impossible. So he says it. He says it out loud. He says it softly. He says, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." Again, are you in need? Are you hurting? Are you lonely? Are you broken? Is everything a mess? Is there a relationship that's broken? Are you in need of a spiritual resuscitation? Do you just need some encouragement? Call out to the Lord. Say it out loud. Say it softly. let him know. Say it with tears. Let your heart break before the Lord. And like Bartimaeus, refuse to be silenced. Even if your own heart tells you to stop or that it's impossible, don't stop. Come to the Lord. Ask him for healing. Ask him for restoration. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16 says that Jesus sympathizes with your weaknesses. He knows you so well. He knows all of it. He knows the context. He knows the whole backstory. He knows every single detail about you. He understands. Hebrews says to come to Jesus in prayer so that you'll receive grace and mercy in times of need. It says that because that's where grace and mercy comes from. Jesus is the power provider. He is the one you need to reach out to more than anyone else. Jesus hears those who cry out to him, and Jesus heals those who cry out to him. That is our third heading. Jesus heals those who cry out to him. So we've seen Bartimaeus, he gives Jesus his request. He said, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. Oh, Bartimaeus, he was a pitiful sight to behold. He knew it, even though he had never seen himself in a mirror, he knew it. He knew it because he was the object of scorn and ridicule. He was painfully aware that he was blind and in perpetual darkness. Darkness was all he knew. He passed from the darkness of his mother's womb into the darkness of this world. He had never seen a sunrise. He had never seen a blue sky. He had never seen the love of his mother or father's face, nor any other face. Unlike so many who are in spiritual darkness, he knew exactly what his problem was. Verse 52 says, and Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight. Well, the parallel passage in Matthew chapter 20, verse 34 gives us a little bit more insight about what took place. It says that Jesus felt pity for Bartimaeus. Because of Adam's fall, Adam and Eve, Adam in the garden, because of Adam's fall, sin and corruption came into this world. God made this world good. But Adam's sin brought things like sickness and disease into this world. His sin brought things like blindness into this world. The parallel passage in Matthew tells us that Jesus was moved to sorrow and compassion for Bartimaeus. You see, Jesus hates sin. He's reviled by sin. And he hates the suffering caused by sin. The parallel passage says that Jesus didn't just talk to Bartimaeus, but he reached out and he touched him. It says that he touched Bartimaeus' eyes and that immediately he recovered his sight. No surgery, no bandages, no recovery time, just in an instant, sight. Bartimaeus opened his eyes and he saw human beings for the first time in his life. He saw a gawking crowd. They were shocked by what they were seeing. Silence had fallen on this noisy crowd. Everyone's mouths were hanging open. They couldn't believe it. And Bartimaeus looked around, and for the first time, he saw blue skies and palm trees and the mountains of Moab off into the difference. But the first thing that he saw was the Lord Jesus, his Savior, looking right at him, the son of David. Jesus said, go your way. Your faith has made you well. That word translated there as well. Your faith has made you well. That's a translation of the Greek word sozo. To be made physically well or healthy. But it's also the word for being saved. It's the Christian word for salvation. For example, in Ephesians 2:8, it says, for by grace you are saved through faith. That's our word. That's our word sozo. When Jesus speaks to Bartimaeus, he's undoubtedly referring to both the physical and spiritual status of Bartimaeus. He says, go your way. Your faith has made you well, saved. How do I know it's referring to both? Because faith that does not lead to discipleship is not saving faith. Let me say that again because it's super important. Faith that does not lead to discipleship is not saving faith. You see, Jesus transformed Bartimaeus from a beggar beside the road to a disciple on the road. Bartimaeus believed and followed Jesus as his Lord. Look at verse 52. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. The parallel passage in Luke 18:43 says, and immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Do you know that Bartimaeus is the only person in the Synoptic Gospels whose name is given? And because of this, some people think Mark preserved his name because he was known then, at the time of the writing, in the Jerusalem church. If this is the case, then Bartimaeus followed Jesus, witnessing his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, the horror of the crucifixion, as well as the joy of the resurrection. He started off in this world as blind, but in the end, he beheld the most spectacular moments in human history. Well, the crowd was astonished at what they saw. A miracle had taken place right before their eyes. Bartimaeus cried out, and Jesus healed him. So I'll ask you this. Do miracles still take place? Do miraculous healings still take place? I have no doubt that they do. And yet we need to be very careful here. Often God answers our prayers for healing through ordinary means. He answers our prayers for healing through ordinary means. What does that mean? Well, he provides us things like nurses and doctors and surgeons and medications and technology. Sometimes this is the way he answers it. And the thing to know is that charlatans, con men, are looking to take advantage of you. They promise to regrow your hair if you only buy their shampoo. I wish that one were true. They promise that you'll lose weight if you'll only buy their pill, that you'll quit aging if you'll only purchase and apply their creams. And some of these hucksters come in the name of Christ, violating the third commandment, clearly. They promise healing that is contingent upon the strength of your faith or upon the size of your wallet. They are hucksters and conmen and charlatans. Jude and 2 Peter warn us that these men will arise in every generation. So know it. Be aware of it. They are fakes and frauds, and judgment awaits them if they don't repent. It would be a nice Christian thing to do, to pray for their repentance. The gospel, you see, it promises forgiveness of sin. It promises the removal of shame. It promises to restore the broken relationship between God and man, the broken relationship between you and God. It does promise ultimate healing and restoration in eternity. But God doesn't promise that you'll be without affliction in this life. If you're afflicted, cry out to Jesus for healing. Do it. Like Bartimaeus, again and again and again, cry out to him. But leave the timing in his hands, that is, in the Lord's hands. Trust him and know for certain that God is good, that he is for you, and that there is a reason for everything that you experience. You know, the Bible, it says that each one of us are born like Bartimaeus. Each one of us are born like Bartimaeus, blind. Not physically blind, but spiritually blind. And the question I have for you is, has Jesus opened the spiritual eyes of your heart so that you're no longer blind? Are you born again? That's what I'm asking. Are you convinced you're a sinner? Not out there, not just logically. Are you really convinced that you're a sinner and that it's a problem? Do you understand what took place at the cross? Have you trusted in Jesus as your only hope of forgiveness and salvation? Has your faith led to discipleship? Is Jesus your Lord? If you are in need of forgiveness, if you're in need of restoration, come to Jesus like a beggar, desperate, with nothing to offer, with nothing to barter. Come to him like Bartimaeus, vulnerable and in need of mercy. Ask him for forgiveness. Ask him for restoration. We've seen what kind of Savior he is. Extraordinary. Glorious. He hears the cries of those in need. He halts, he hears, and he heals those who cry out to him. That is the character of Jesus, the Lord of mercy. Mark 10, 46 through 52 says that Jesus is the Messiah who saves those who put their faith in him. This passage teaches you that Jesus is who you ought to come for when you're in need of restoration. Like Bartimaeus, you ought to cry out to Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we would lift up all those amongst our number who are in need of restoration in various ways. We would lift up those who are hurting and who are in pain, who are in physical pain. Lord, we'd ask for healing, and we understand that you do often heal us through ordinary means like doctors and medications, hospital visits, and all the rest. We thank you so much for giving us the technology that is often able to help us. Lord, we would pray for those in pain, and those who are hurting, those who are unable to even attend in person because of ailments. Lord, we pray that you would minister to them. We pray that you would reach out to them, that you would comfort them, that you would let them know that this message is for them and that you love them dearly. Lord, would you give them what they need? Would you give them comfort? Lord, we lift up those amongst us who are struggling with broken relationships, relationships of various kinds in need of restoration. Lord, you are the Lord of mercy. You have healing. All power is yours. You are full of grace and mercy. Lord, would you heal these broken relationships? Would you help people to love one another? Would you help us to love others, to have all those fruits that we read about in your scripture, the fruit of the Spirit? Lord, we pray for those of us who are dry and in need of spiritual revitalization. Lord, we are a dry and parched land, and how we desire to be watered by you, to hear from you again, to know that you are speaking to us, the Lord of mercy, the Lord of goodness, the one to whom all glory is due, the one who has all power. Are we not blessed to be your children, God? Indeed we are. We are so thankful for that you are good. We'd ask that you would help us. Please do, Lord. Please do. We want to live as unto you, disciples on the road, following you, loving others, and loving you. We want to give you our whole lives, Lord. Please take us. We'd ask you would hear our prayers in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen.